Welcome to Equip, the podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thickman. Today, I'm joined by Natalie Irvin and Catherine Rentz. We're going to talk about our experience in going to Turkey. Let's get equipped. Ladies, thank y'all for making time to join me today.
Yeah,
of course.
I had a ton of fun. I really enjoyed our trip to Turkey. I especially enjoy that Logan couldn't be here. He would have genuinely ruined this podcast if he...
Shout out to Logan, wherever you are. We don't know.
Yeah. Just getting a job or whatever. Getting engaged, starting a life.
Yeah.
I mean, who does that?
So dumb.
I thought this trip, the way I've described it to people... when they've asked, you know, the question of how's Turkey is, I've tried to be honest of it was great. There's still a lot of really good from it, but I've tried to be honest that this was, for me personally, this was my hardest trip of going from a travel, a lack of sleep, just the physical demand of the trip was harder for me this time. We were in the van a lot. So that's still the larger portion of the summary for me. I think this was both of your first time to Turkey.
Yes.
Maybe not the first time of that significant of travel, though.
It was for me.
Was for you?
I think so. Because the farthest I've gone is Europe, so I would say it was, you know, a few hours longer. But
do you feel like it makes a big difference, though, when you've flown, like, 7.5, 8 hours versus, I mean.
Not too much. I don't feel like the travel was... anything like it was very easy. I think especially on the way there, on the way back was more difficult just because of the anticipation of it all and just kind of coming down off that high of being there and wanting to come home, but at the same time having the conflicting feelings of wishing that we could stay longer.
Be honest with the audience, what's more difficult to interact with, Europeans or Middle Easterners?
Europeans.
That's 100% the case. Europe's the worst.
I mean, there's not even a competition.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Yeah. They were lovely. Every single person that we met, I was blown away. I mean, I think that was one of my biggest surprises was how wonderful they truly were. And I mean, I'd heard that, but just the, I mean, we've talked about this, the stereotypes that you have going into a Middle Eastern country and a Muslim country, just... to be honest, you know, what we're exposed to in America is a lot of the radical part of Islam. And then when you get
there... That's what gets the most airtime.
And it's not fair, really, at all for the people that live there because they were absolutely wonderful and the most hospitable people that I've ever met, to be honest. And I think coming back from that, I just have such a love in my heart for that culture and those people.
Yeah, so you guys maybe are you know, still very close to maybe the memory of what did you assume it was going to be like before you went on the trip? Kate, what did you assume people would be like there before you went on the trip? And maybe Engage Global.
Yeah. Okay. So I was going to say Engage Global kind of opened my eyes to that kind of stuff.
So then, Natalie, for you then, like what did you assume the type of people we'd be interacting with, like just – standard human interaction for us with...
I think I expected a lot more conservative people who were much more religious.
Describe conservative. What did you picture?
In the sense of dress, I was expecting a lot more women to be fully covered. I expected a lot more of just male dominance, I guess, in the sense of the women wouldn't really be open to talking to us and... maybe we wouldn't get as much opportunity to converse with them, but it absolutely was the opposite. I think that, you know, when we went over there, unfortunately, I guess, I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, there's a lot of secularism, and one of the things the missionary described to us was that a lot of people don't actually know what they believe, and you would assume that being in a Muslim country that you would be very religious in the sense of knowing the Quran and knowing what you believe. But I guess it's very similar to America. You assume when people say they're a Christian that they know the Bible, and that's just not the case a lot of times, unfortunately. And so I think it was just a lot less conservative than what I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, and I'm wanting to draw some of this out to maybe hopefully tear down some of the concerns, the mm-hmm. fears that maybe mm-hmm. folks in our church have of like,
sure.
it's not that. It's yeah. not mm-hmm. like even Logan leading up to the trip was like, we're going to be riding camels. We're going to be in the desert. I failed geography, so I don't know this in the Mediterranean. Like there's yeah. some, you know, there's just some like you just assume mm-hmm. Muslim means full burqa, like only eyes are shown, mm-hmm. hostile.
Right.
And it's just not the case.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. They were very receptive. Even if they weren't willing to necessarily receive Christ in that moment, I feel like they were hearing what we were saying. And one thing I'll never forget, one of the people that we talked to, he said, I believe that what you're saying is genuine and you're not just reading from a script. Mm-hmm. And that meant a lot to me because it showed that what I was saying, like I was trying to, it's hard when you're going through a translator. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to make it very personal because it is so personal, your relationship with Christ. But when he said, I can tell that it's real for you, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And I think that they were very receptive to that mm-hmm. and the genuineness of who we are as people wanting to form a relationship with them first beyond yeah. anything else.
Yeah, I think of for the sake of our folks that are to bring maybe a little bit of definition to some of what you're saying, Natalie. Mm-hmm. When we say conservative, we are talking religiously, like more covered, mm-hmm. more defensive,
right?
That sort of thing. Where because the truth is, every person in the country is like much more devout, like their standard of like what they refer to as secular is still much more hungry for God, mm-hmm. desiring to live their lives in accordance with what they do know and understand,
mm-hmm. right.
Which is very different from here, mm-hmm. right? Like here it's much more what we would describe as nominal, mm-hmm. like Christian in name only,
yeah.
void of all power. There is very interesting. Their lives are seeking to be conformed to the morality of God.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know what Jesus has done for them,
yes.
which is a...
That's a good clarification.
It's a world of difference, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's... In America, it's Christian in name only, to fit into society, to really advance yourself in society. Mm-hmm. But there, it's, no, I really believe that God is holy, that he's righteous, that I'm a sinner, that there was this guy named Jesus. Like, they are so close
mm-hmm.
to accurate understanding of the gospel. They just don't know the answer to why did Jesus die.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Kate, going through Engage Global and kind of what did you, if you can put yourself like before the trip on this flight over, what do you feel like Engage Global prepared you for?
I feel like it gave me more of like a deeper understanding of like how to, I don't really know how to like describe it, but like Engage Global, we didn't go to like evangelize, and it like allowed me to really understand, to like sit there and hear them and like listen to them instead of being like, but you're wrong, like mm-hmm. you're wrong. And so I feel like going over to Turkey, a lot of it was like having to be okay with like not getting so like argumentative, like close to being like, well, here's why you're wrong and I'm right. And like it wasn't about proving that Christianity is true and what they believe is not, but more so of like, like they taught us like they believe in so much more like relational, like face-to-face conversation, like building that relationship is really important in that kind of community. Mm-hmm. And so going into it, knowing that like it's not going to be like the DR where you get to sit there and you come into their house and ask them what they do, and then you jump into the Bible and like you open up your Bible and are just like actively just sitting there sharing the gospel again with people who know the gospel. But like you sit there and you ask them what they do and how many kids they have and how long have they been married and all these things to understand like their worldview and their understanding of the world. And then through that, we get to like relate things. I think of the lady you got to talk to about Harper's seizures and stuff and epilepsy with her, because she said her daughter had epilepsy, and like just opening up the floor to a lot more meaningful and relational conversation to share the gospel instead of being like, here's the gospel and that's it.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there anything that that was like, okay, here's what we've learned sort of on paper at Engage Global that was different? Was there something that was like, man, now like actually boots on the ground, here's like, not at all, because I mean, Engage Global can't do everything.
Right.
It's such a great training. It's such a great trip that like what was different in comparison to what you expected?
I think we talked about this a little bit while being there, but, and you kind of hit on it, like how like they dress more like Western culture style. So like more of like what we would wear, like blue jeans and a top or whatever, versus like when we learned about it, a lot of it was like, we learned like kind of what they wear. And then we went into the market, the Somali market, and everybody in there was dressed exactly how you would assume a Muslim would dress, with the covering and the hijab or the burqa or whatever. And so it was a little bit like, oh, I kind of assumed that everybody would be dressed that way. But I think that would probably be like the only thing that like I was like, oh, that's not the same as like what I expected. But it's a different culture and different people. So
Yeah, I think it's I highlight that, and I'm glad you shared that, because like what we project is a lot different than what we should expect. Like we should very much think more here like missionaries do there, you know, like trying to not put everybody into these neat and tidy boxes. Like I think one of the things that I'm always reflective of when I am there expecting God is going to move and change people's hearts and that he is eager to save. And I don't always feel that way here. I don't always feel that way in conversation of like, you're pressured a lot more to think, I guess pressured, I just am wrong, of expecting, well, they probably already know the gospel. They probably already go to church. They probably already know why Jesus had to die, et cetera, versus like living with expectation of, no, God's hand is mighty to save. And there are people that when I look at them, I expect one thing, but there's something completely different, and so was I, you know? And so that's one of the biggest things for Turkey, is it always motivates me to come back and live differently. And so that would be the question I would ask is, for you guys, how do you feel like you'll live differently now having gone to Turkey?
I think in a couple ways, it's changed a lot of things for me, because I think like what you said, Jordan, is I don't always, it's like I say that I would expect God to move, but I'm surprised when he does. And seeing that over there was incredibly overwhelming for me, to see the Lord move in ways that I'd never seen before. And so I think when I came back, I have more of an expectant heart. And more of a grateful heart, because I remember the Sunday that we came back, or like we came back Saturday night, and then I was in church Sunday, and I was just like crying while worshiping, because I was just thinking, how lucky am I? Like, how kind God has been that I can do this and there's no repercussions for me. And that, and how selfish I've been to like just take that for granted. And make it something where I just show up instead of expecting something more.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And another is a little bit vain, sort of, because I was able to pack a week's worth of stuff in a carry-on. And, I mean, it kind of made me realize, truthfully, how much I live in excess and how much I have so much just stuff. And that I was fine living off of and wearing the things that I packed and had a great time and didn't feel like I was lacking anything. And it really just like kind of stripped some of this desire of just like constantly wanting a new outfit or constantly wanting to spend money on things that truthfully will be worn a couple times and sit in my closet. And so I know that sounds like kind of silly, but it really, and I don't even know if John fully believes me yet that I'm there, because that would be shocking. But I think that it really did open my eyes to how much I want stuff when I'm here and how little I desired anything there.
Yeah.
I have some thoughts about that, but Kate, anything?
I thought the same thing in worship on Sunday. Like, I think we sung Tremble.
Mm-hmm.
And just singing about, like, the darkness that, like, Jesus can shake and, like, bring light to.
Yeah.
And just thinking about the darkness that is over in Turkey. Because, like, you had talked about, like, you will, like, it is a dark place. And I think, like, Russ and people who have been before have always, like, said something about, like, you'll feel the darkness. Like, you can feel it. And I wasn't, like, necessarily expecting to, like, really feel it. But I think it kind of hit me, like, the last night.
Mm.
And, like, we had talked about in our room. And, like, singing that song, coming back and just, like, praying for the people in Turkey that, like, Jesus would bring light into the darkness and, like, shake up everything that they've ever known. And just, like, revival would break out there. But I think that would be one of the things. And I think the other one would be, like, I think the way that I think about, like, how the Lord has changed my life, like, over there, we talked about this, like, the first day, like, you are to share, like, the atonement of, like, what Jesus did in your, like, inward part of your heart and not the, like, outward, like...
Your whole story.
Right. Like, not the, like, well, before Jesus, I was drinking and getting drunk and smoking and doing all this stuff and that I shouldn't have been.
Why are you talking like Natalie?
Kim K. I was doing my best Natalie Urban impression.
Thank you. That You're was welcome. Good.
Thank you.
Good job.
But to share, like, what he did inside of me, like, taking that more, like, thinking about, like, thank you for bringing me from all of those, like, acts, like, the outward acts, but, like, thank you for changing like, the heart. Inward part of me and, like, the inner depth of my, like, body and my heart. So,
for sure,
The thing I was thinking about with what you were saying, Natalie, is, like, I'm challenged of how much of the things that I'm anxious about come from things that don't matter?
Mm.
How much, like, how much actually boredom has produced a level of dissatisfaction?
Interesting.
With, like, I feel like another pair of shoes or, you know, another piece of hunting equipment or, like, another lawn care item, another... You know, another redo of the living room or whatever. Like, they're all just, like, substitutions for boredom that are thrilling for a little while and distracting. And then it leaves you, again, not satisfied. Like, I turned the faucet on and the water faucet was doing this weird thing. I was like, great. Another thing on the list of, like, something else to fix in the house. And Macy was like, I think I looked it up, and it's like every 5 years, basically everything in a house has to be fixed. And that was, like, the most discouraging thing I think I've heard in a long time, because that's – I'm just spending my life chasing my tail of this mortgage and – house appliances and just fixing them. And that's what I'm going to spend my whole life doing. And that is just...
What a way to live.
Yeah. But I don't know if you guys noticed this. I'm sure you did. But the two guys that we were with the whole week, the translator or the driver and the worker, mm-hmm. they wore the same outfit the entire mm-hmm. week. They had a bag. They took clothes with them when we traveled. Mm-hmm. But like at first, what it panged in me is, oh, these poor guys. Like maybe we should just, no, I've got plenty of stuff. Maybe I should just give them some provisions. Mm-hmm. And we brought them brand new shoes. And we're talking about like Duluth Trading Company, mm-hmm. like Ultras, like nice high-end stuff. Never wore it. Like he just was like, I like this shirt. Mm-hmm. I can wash it in the sink and the next day it's fine.
Yeah.
And that's his preference. They are, like you said, these are, again, this is a whole people that are void of the Holy Spirit. Mm. They are content. That should really...
Just wild.
Yeah.
That rocks me.
Yeah.
A lot. Like, how, where does that discontentment come from?
While full of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Anything else that you guys like? Well, let's maybe share some memories or some stories. What are some of the stories or memories of... We've shared one or two already, but like, what are some stories or memories from the trip that you would highlight? Mm-hmm. Like the things that when inevitably so many folks have asked us, like, how was the trip? Mm-hmm. And what are some of the stories that you guys have shared?
I think the biggest one would be the lady at the beach when we went to mm-hmm. the beach.
Yeah. You didn't share how you couldn't figure out your AC for two nights or...
Listen,
we figured it out the first night. Okay, the second night it was a little rough.
Kate and I,
strong independent women.
We are strong independent women. We can do anything we put our mind to.
Even kill the spiders.
We needed some help along the way.
And sleep next to spiders.
The spiders slept over my head the whole night, and I'm extremely afraid of spiders. Am I afraid of, you know, getting kicked out of a country where I'm illegally spreading the gospel? No. I'm afraid of the daddy long leg that's hanging over my head.
The non-biting.
Yeah, the non-biting spider and the door that won't close.
What are the odds that that spider crawled across your face and went back to its web?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Or it could have crawled in your ear.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. I have a thing with ears. But anyway, I was just thinking about the lady from the beach mm-hmm. and how absolutely precious that was for me mm-hmm. And how I still think about her every day. I don't know when I'll stop thinking about her. I don't think I will.
Hopefully never.
Hopefully never, because I do think one of the challenges is praying for those people that mm-hmm. we met, that God would continue to produce things in them and reveal himself to them. And one of the craziest things was when we showed up at the beach, we were actually pointed to the beach by her nephew, who we also shared with.
So yeah. Start from the top of that story. From we go to the a restaurant, shop. The butcher uh-huh. shop, take it over.
We go to the butcher shop mm-hmm. and we sit down. And I thought we were going to share with his grandma, but his grandma was like, peace out, and went into the kitchen. And he came out and ended up pulling up a chair, which is like very common mm-hmm. For them to drop everything and come sit with us, which was really cool.
Waiters, yeah. chefs, like store mid owners. Work.
And it's nobody,
completely normal.
Yeah, nobody really is mm-hmm. like, what are you doing? So he sits down and we share the gospel with him. And I think he was the one who said that it seems very genuine, like mm-hmm. what we were saying was not mm-hmm. from a script. And he believes both the Quran and in Jesus, which, whatever. Anyways.
We planted a seed there.
Yes. So praying that that prospers into something better. But he ends up being like, my aunt has a shop on the beach, like a snack bar, whatever you'd call it. We will go there and share the gospel. And he was like, basically he had said something along the lines of like, you have to go see my aunt. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to. And I was kind of like, why is he so persistent if he believes like both the Quran and in Jesus? But when we get there, we ended up like sitting there for a while waiting for people to kind of disperse. And then all of a sudden, everybody was gone. And then he ends up calling me and Natalie up to talk to her. And she shares Natalie shares a little bit, and she ends up saying, I had a vision. And I was like, this is it. This is the moment. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. And so we end up talking to her about her vision, and she was like, I can't say a lot now because I have to go, but I had a vision, and it was this beautiful place, and I cried and cried and cried, and my family thought I was crazy, and they didn't know what was wrong with me, and I want to go back to that place, but I don't know where it was. And she was like, but I can't talk now, so can you come back Friday? And I was like, a cliffhanger. Dang it.
No.
And so the whole time I was like, can't wait for Friday. Can't wait for Friday. Mm-hmm. We show up Friday. They leave again. But they end up coming back. They were like, please wait for us. We'll be back soon.
Turns out they're being persecuted by the government. Mm-hmm. They're being pushed out because they're not religious enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they're being pushed out of this shop. They're being harassed by the police. Mm-hmm. Even while we were sitting there, police kind of kept walking around to try to harass them. Mm-hmm. And so they were having to like prove their citizenship, prove their like validity of like work stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they were telling us like, we didn't have time. We gave her a tract the first on Tuesday and told her about the Bible Project and kind of left it at that. And then we came back Friday. They ended up having to leave. Then they came back. We finally got to sit down with them like after like 2 hours of waiting.
And we were on the beach. So like the scenery was not bad.
Yeah, no. We were looking at Greece and
we had some entertainment.
We had some entertainment as well.
We had a lot of entertainment, I think.
Kate picked up a few more pieces of trauma.
Yeah, that was horrible. a horse fell on asphalt, and it
threw a European lady a long way.
But it did throw a European off. And then we got to see where she fell, which was funny.
It was a teacher in front of all of their students. Oh my gosh, it was great.
Yeah, it was perfect. But we got to tell our friends about it after when they got back.
Yeah.
And then they ended up having cameras. So I wonder if they ever went back and watched it.
Oh, surely.
I hope so. But we end up getting to share with them. And the husband ends up coming over and sitting down. And they have a 10-year-old. And she keeps, like, coming over and, like, wants to know what we're talking about, which is really cool. But he and the wife ended up being, like, super curious and open to the thought of like us sharing with them. And she shares more about her vision, and she was like, it wasn't a garden, it wasn't like a place that I could look up, like it was just beautiful and like soft and light. And she's like describing what heaven sounds like. And so that kind of opened up the gate of like, well, actually, we know how you can get there. And we got to share more about what Jesus did for us. And in sharing that, I think the husband ended up being like, I actually went and sat at where some people believe Mary lived, which, not sure about that. But
wrong, but also nice try.
Yeah, cool. It's okay. It's the thought.
85-year-old Mary could climb a like 45-degree hill but with no road.
Totally. Yeah. She totally lived up there if she could do that. But with likelihood, probably not. He went and sat up there and just was like, there has to be something more. Mm. And ends up sharing like he thinks that he doesn't believe anything in like the Quran. He thinks it's total bogus and he hates turkey and all this stuff. And it was just hearing
which
him
is
talk
fair
about it.
Because of the way they've been treated
from an economic
the
perspective. Yes. He's really
and,
suffering.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he wishes that he left. And so we get to tell him like, well, what you're wondering is like, we have the answer to what you're wondering. Like there is more to life than just work and then you die. Like there's more to that. And that was really cool to watch the gospel be presented to them. Mm-hmm. When for her, she sat there and told us, like, I've never heard the name of Jesus. And I've never met somebody
who's never heard
the name of Jesus. And that was kind of wild. And, like, just sitting there thinking about, like, how many other people's story that is. And just like thinking about like the heartbreak that they just kind of live life and they're just kind of like, I guess this is it. And that's mm-hmm. the cards I was dealt. And now I get to live my life and hope that I go somewhere. And for him to be like so curious, like it's almost like it makes a lot of sense as to why he was like, the guy at the butcher shop was like, you have to go see my mm-hmm. aunt because of the fact that she's had this vision and he's so curious about like, what is there to life other than just living? And it was really cool to hear what they had been exploring. And like, she said like, I'm completely ignorant to all of this. Mm-hmm. Like I have no idea about any of this.
I think that's the part that, and all the times that I've been, I was a little bit thankful that it wasn't just like, perfect, I believe, see you later. It was just more of like, I don't know anything about this. Mm-hmm. I'm committed to thinking about this more and researching this more. I want to hear more.
Yeah.
It's only the second time. No, there's been a, it's only a handful of times that when I've gone, somebody's invited us back to their home.
Yeah.
And to get really to go cool. and like have baklava. I mean, really suffer for the gospel through baklava.
Yeah. Gosh, ice cream. It was really hard.
Yeah. A late night tea, coffee, Coca-Cola the night before we fly out was.
And we got to see wild hogs too.
We got to see wild hogs.
Yeah.
But just through that of like, they want us to come back. Mm-hmm. They want us to like, you know, visit them again. Yeah. Just lots of stuff.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It was really encouraging, like walking away from the conversation we had on the beach. And then getting invited to go to their house, which I felt a little defeated after, in full transparency. Natalie mm-hmm. knows this because I cried, but which I don't do often.
You don't cry often?
If not prompted. If you're not John Irvin.
Wait, what?
He makes me cry a lot.
He makes me cry a lot, so.
I mean... Say it's John. Just
kidding. I'm just kidding. What do you mean? What? Not the John part.
Yeah, yeah.
You left defeated. Which part? Well, oh, like
after the house. After we went to their house and had baklava.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Because I was just thinking about like. Well, I was thinking more of like we didn't really even get to share like the rest of the story, because. When the worker was sharing with them, he was very focused on sharing with them and not like translating what he was saying back to us. And so I know obviously he shared the gospel with them. Duh.
Well, I can say like from having heard him do this now, yeah. like probably over 100 times.
Yeah.
He definitely got through the full like.
For sure.
Answering the question, why did Jesus have to die?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I get what you mean though. Yes. Like there's a lot said that. Probably never made it back to us. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. And so when we went to their house, I was like, great. Like, we get to continue the conversation. Like, I felt like we were getting somewhere. And then we go to their house and we just end up, like, hanging out and talking with them, which is great. Yeah. Like, hindsight 2020, like, just getting to, like, spend time with people in a different culture and experience the cross-culture, like, relationship that you can have with people mm-hmm. and, like, the love that they had. Like, that was fun.
I think for me it was like that they're like a potential person of peace. Mm-hmm. Like they're a person of like mm-hmm. Like Lydia in the Book of Acts, mm-hmm. like where they could prevail upon us to like stay and visit again.
Yes. Right.
That I mean that was Logan's brain was just whirring when we got back into the hotel room and it's like 11:45 and neither of us can sleep because we just had about 750 milligrams of caffeine. And
yeah, that was crazy.
And he's just like, his brain is just kicked into like, mm-hmm. how do we follow up? Mm-hmm. Is he going to go back? How often do you think he'll go back? What do you think the process? Do you think mm-hmm. we could yada yada? And he's just strategizing like, mm-hmm. All the while we're leaving at like 6 a.m.
Yeah. And I told Natalie, like, I not was like frustrated, but was just like, there was so much potential there, and I feel like we lost it when we left the beach. And that's why I felt defeated, because I was like, they were so close. But looking back, like watching the worker to be like, I know for a fact in a week they'll be a believer. Mm-hmm. And like him just having the faith of like, I just have to trust God and hope and pray that like they will enter the kingdom of heaven because they're so curious.
And I did this with Logan while we were laying there. I was like, let me paint a little bit of the other side of the picture, mm-hmm. which is imagine they get so fired up about this. Like if he visits their home over and over and over, it becomes mm-hmm. a security risk
right.
because neighbors are like, who's this guy that mm-hmm. always pulls up in the same vehicle? Mm-hmm. Like, what's
same
he doing?
Outfit.
Yeah, same outfit. Very identifiable.
Yeah.
But like, so there's that security risk. There's mm-hmm. also the risk that they get so fired up, they begin telling someone else, and mm-hmm. then that person reports them.
Right.
The nephew could get offended mm-hmm. and say, well, look, auntie and uncle are now... they are whatever, mm-hmm. and could get reported, and it all traces back to the mm-hmm. same person.
Yeah.
So there, it's easy to get on a podcast and get very romantic and idealistic mm-hmm. about how it could look, and then there's the other very sober reality mm-hmm. that every conversation becomes a security risk,
right?
And
then
every follow-up visit, which it's just, you know, you can't live in a world of defeatism. You have mm-hmm. to live in a world of faith for mm-hmm. sure. And there, but I see the same thing you're mm-hmm. saying of like, man, what potential.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, and we need to believe in that potential. We mm-hmm. need to believe that the worker can draw that potential out.
Right.
And so, or somebody from Connection Church could go and draw that potential out because the fields are white with harvest. Mm-hmm. So
true.
Yeah.
What other stories do you have, Natalie? What other story stands out?
Well, I was just thinking about her. And, you know, one of the things, I think it was you that said this, and I was glad that you did. You said, you know, you're going to see some things that break your heart, mm-hmm. but you're also going to have to realize you can't fix mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you said that because I am I'm tenderhearted, but also am a justice person, and I don't like when I see injustice. It breaks my heart. It also makes me mad. It makes me want to fix it. It makes me want to go down the path of trying to find a solution, mm-hmm. trying to find, you know, maybe something that's completely unrealistic. And that really wasn't the point of us being there. And so I feel like that did help set me up for more success, really, in being okay with where we were at and where we left things.
Yeah.
But also, one of the coolest things for me is when we were in the house, and Kate mentioned this earlier, but we were talking to the lady, and somehow the worker brought up that Harper had been ill, had had epilepsy and or has epilepsy, and that was one of the reasons why my husband, maybe it was that they questioned why my husband wasn't there or something right. like that.
Yeah.
And I told the worker that it was complicated, and later on he said, we have some time, so can you tell me why it's complicated? Mm-hmm. And so I expressed that it was extremely difficult for us to leave mm-hmm. knowing that mm-hmm. our child is sick, and at any moment mm-hmm. bad things can happen, and it's hard to trust God mm-hmm. in that, but I felt the calling to go, and so I was trying to be obedient, and I really feel like the Lord blessed that and showed me so much that I can't even explain on here, really. But as we were sharing that story, or as he was sharing that story to her, she kind of teared up and said that her sister was an epileptic. And she described how difficult that was mm-hmm. when they first found out, which was when she was 16 or something, mm-hmm. and just very random and very shocking mm-hmm. and a lot of the same experiences that we've gone through. And it was crazy in that moment because, like, she was looking straight at me in my eyes, but I didn't understand anything she was saying, but it kind of didn't matter. It was like we had this connection. Yeah. She was encouraging me in that I was very brave to leave my daughter and to come to another country and to share this news, and that it was very difficult to be a caretaker of someone who was struggling in that way. And I just remember thinking, even if I didn't have that translation, I would have known exactly what she was trying to say to me and how, like, powerful that was in the moment. And then you even said later, like, it was hard for me not to tear up because how crazy is it that you go across the world expecting to encourage other people, but you just got encouraged by like your own obedience. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how I never cry either, right, Kate? And but the whole trip was so emotional for me. And I think the root of it was that I was overwhelmed with everything that God was doing.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't even like, I don't think I could process it. I don't think I could like experience it any other way than getting emotional. And I think it's just like, as Harper would say, happy tears. It's happy tears because of the way that I saw God move.
Amen.
So.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of my favorite parts of it is just knowing everything you and John have been through and just getting to see the Lord repair some of that, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And
it's really cool.
The other thing that really stood out to me is we got to go to sort of a different place that was extremely beautiful. The worker did not undersell that at all.
No. It's gorgeous.
How beautiful the area of the country was that we went to. And to see, you know, this is the other part of the trip that I really wish it's always a blessing to me, and I just can't imagine it not being beneficial to others. Is the elevation of biblical literacy that you gain from what you see and most of the Bible happened in Turkey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most of it did, and including the Old Testament. I mean, there's a very small percentage of it that happens in the geographic Israel that we know today. Most of it happened in Turkey. And to see the mountain where way the worker pointed out, like, when God told Paul to cross that mountain, he had you in mind.
Yeah.
God.
That really got me.
Yeah.
I haven't stopped thinking about that comment.
But to see, like, it wasn't just like, you know, it wasn't just like the Greenway over here.
No.
You
know, like a hill.
Yeah.
No. It was not a hill.
No.
It's like walking rugged switchbacks.
Yeah.
Like it's a treacherous area to try to walk through, riddled with snakes, riddled with robbers. When Paul is writing of like, I've been accosted by robbers and bandits, like I've been bitten by snakes, I've been shipwrecked. Like this puts, like we're looking at the seas that he would have been shipwrecked in.
Yeah.
We're looking at the mountains that he would have been like vandalized in,
you know,
to see like it was worth it. The call of God was worth it no matter how difficult the journey. Mm-hmm. And whether it's from a terrain standpoint or whether it's from an emotional, physical, mental standpoint, like the journey with God is worth it. And we don't know who it's going to bless and who it's going to affect on the back end of it. And we're never going to know. But we don't get to see the fruit in order to dictate whether we'll be obedient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just know the God that produces the fruit. And we go with him in obedience. And it's always worth it.
Yeah.
And so I think we'll wrap it up there.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, anything else that you want to share with the folks about your trip? Or
everyone should go.
I agree.
And it's worth it. And I will say for moms especially, even without a child who has an illness. I mean, it's difficult to leave your kids. And as a mom, you always question whether you're being selfish, whether, you know, it's right, especially when your kids cry when you leave and then you're like, I'm a terrible person. I should never have done this. But when God puts that calling on your life, you need to be obedient and you'll be so surprised how peaceful you feel. And when we were over there, I just remember I was experiencing more joy, more peace, more excitement, more like overwhelming spiritual feelings than I had in so long. Mm-hmm. And I was not worried about my children. Mm-hmm. I had a peace that only the Holy Spirit can bring, that he was going to take care of them as he was going to take care of us.
Yeah.
And so I just would encourage moms, parents to take the call and go and trust that God is going to take care of his children.
Totally.
And it's worth it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Any other thoughts?
I don't think so.
For context, people that go on the trip, you need to be heart and soul. You need to be in a connect group. and you need to have gone to Engage Global. And so we want everyone to go. But we also want everybody to take the right next step for them. If you're in our church and you're listening to this, we want you to go through Heart and Soul. It matters. It really does. It helps you signal to us that you are committed not to just some vacation on the other side of the world, but that you are heart and soul with us and who we are as a church, and that you want to be poured into, you want to be discipled yourself, and that you want to be here to make a difference in the lives of other people. Being in a connect group puts you in a place to where you can receive care, but you can also contribute to care, that you can grow yourself, but you can also contribute to growth. So being in a connect group is so important. And then Engage Global, it helps set the context for what is this mission that we're going on. Why do we not go and just repaint schools in already reached countries? That's a bad thing. Not going and building things in other third world countries. That's all good. It's just not what we're doing. And so we want to give adequate context and training for what we are doing. And so we'd love for you to take the step of going to Turkey. It will change your life. Mm-hmm. But so will all these other steps. Yeah. And let's do them sort of in the right order. And just all continue to grow together. So thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you spending your time with us. Kate and Natalie are always worth spending time with, but I appreciate you putting up with me as well. If you would click like, subscribe, all the things that would help us continue to grow this audience, and we will see you on the next episode.